Star Wars, Dark Force Rising by Timothy Zahn, continued. Cassette number 4, side 1. Yeah, Lando agreed. Come on. They left the Mishra and headed out into the wide avenue. Oddly enough, there were no signs of the panic Luke would have expected to find. On the contrary, the citizens of Ilik seemed to be continuing about their daily business as if nothing untoward was happening. Maybe they don't realize what's going on, he suggested doubtfully as they headed for one of the spiral ramps. Or else they've got a quiet agreement with the Empire, Lando countered sourly. Maybe the leadership finds it politically handy to align themselves with the New Republic, but they also want to keep in the Empire's good graces. Since they can't pay anything as overt as tribute, they instead let the Imperials come in every so often and raid their stocks of refined biomolecules. I've seen that sort of thing done before. Luke looked around at the unconcerned crowds. Only this time it might backfire on them. Like if the Imperials spot the Lady Luck and your X-Wing on the landing records. Right. Where did you say Han was? Last I saw, he was on level 4 heading west, Lando said, digging out his comlink. He told me not to call him, but I think this qualifies as an unforeseen circumstance. Wait a minute, Luke stopped him. If he's anywhere near this aid of Phalia's, and if Phalia is working some kind of deal with the Empire... You're right. Lando swore under his breath as he put the comlink away. So, what do we do? They'd reached the ramp now and stepped onto the section spiraling upward. I'll go find Han, Luke said. You get up to the landing area and see what's happening. If the Imperials haven't actually landed yet, you might be able to get into the air control computer and erase us from the list. R2 can help if you can get him out of my X-Wing and over to a terminal without being caught. I'll give it a try. Okay. A stray memory flicked through Luke's mind. I don't suppose the Lady Lux equipped with one of those full-rig slave circuits you talked about back on Ankeon, is it? Lando shook his head. It's rigged, but only with a simple homing setup. Nothing much more than straight-line motion and a little maneuvering. It'd never be able to get to me through the middle of an enclosed city like this. And even if it could, Luke had to admit, it wouldn't do them much good. Short of blasting a huge hole through the outer wall, the only way out of Ilik for anything the size of a spaceship was through the exit ducts above the landing area. It was just a thought, he said. Here's where Han got off, Lando said, pointing. He headed that way. Right. Luke stepped off the ramp. See you soon. Be careful. You too. Chapter 8 The graying woman took Han to a small office-type room in the Amethyst building, turned him over to a couple of other guard types there, and disappeared with his blaster, comlink, and ID in hand. Han tried once or twice to strike up a conversation with the guards, got no response from either of them, and had just about resigned himself to sitting quietly listening to the sirens outside when the woman returned. Accompanied by another, taller woman, with the unmistakable air of authority about her. Good day to you, the tall woman said, nodding at Han. Captain Han Solo, I believe. With his ID in her hand, there didn't seem much point in denying it. That's right, he said. We're honored by your visit, she said, her tone putting a slightly sardonic edge to the polite words, though a bit surprised by it. I don't know why. The visit was your idea, Han countered. You always pick people up off the street like this? Just special ones. The tall woman's eyebrows lifted slightly. You want to tell me who you are and who sent you? Han frowned. What do you mean, who am I? You've got my ID right there. Yes, I do, the woman nodded, turning the card over in her hand. But there's some difference of opinion as to whether or not it's genuine. She looked out the door and beckoned. And Tav Brelia stepped past her into the room. I was right, the Votan said, his cream-colored fur rippling in an unfamiliar pattern. As I told you when I first saw his ID, he is an imposter, almost certainly an imperial spy. What? Han stared at him, the whole situation tilting slightly off vertical. He looked at the alien's neckpiece. It was Tav Brelia, all right. What did you call me? You're an imperial spy, Brelia repeated, his fur rippling again. Come to destroy our friendship, or even to kill us all, but you'll never live to report back to your masters. He turned to the tall woman. You must destroy him at once, Sena, he urged, before he has the chance to summon your enemies here. Let's not do anything rash, Council Aide Brelia, Sena soothed. Irenis has a good picket screen in position. She looked at Han. Would you care to respond to the Council Aide's accusations? We have no interest in the ravings of an Imperial spy, Brelia insisted before Han could speak. On the contrary, Council Aide, Sena countered. Around here we have an interest in a great many things. She turned back to Han, lifted his ID. Do you have any proof other than this that you're who you claim to be? It doesn't matter who he is, Brelia jumped in again, his voice starting to sound a little strained. He's seen you, and he must certainly know that we have some kind of arrangement. Whether he's from the Empire or the New Republic is irrelevant. Both are your enemies, and both would use such information against you. Sena's eyebrows lifted again. So now his identity doesn't matter, she said coolly. Does that mean you're no longer certain he's an imposter? Brelia's fur rippled again. Clearly, he wasn't as quick on his verbal feet as his boss. He's a very close likeness, the other muttered, though a proper dissection would quickly establish for certain who he is. Sena smiled slightly, but it was a smile of understanding, not of humor. And suddenly, Han realized that the confrontation had been as much a test of Brelia as it had been of him. And if Sena's expression was anything to go by, the Bothan had just flunked it. I'll keep that recommendation in mind, she told him dryly. There was a soft beep, and the gray-haired woman pulled out a comlink and spoke quietly into it. She listened, spoke again, and looked up at Sena. Picket line reports another man approaching, she said. Medium build, dark blonde hair, dressed in black. She threw a glance at Brelia, and carrying what appears to be a lightsaber. Sena looked at Brelia, too. I believe that ends the discussion, she said. Have one of the pickets meet him, Irenis, and ask him if he'll join us. Make it clear that's a request, not an order. Then return Captain Solo's weapon and equipment to him. She turned to Han, nodded gravely to him as she returned his ID. My apologies, Captain. You understand we have to be cautious, particularly given the coincidence of this. She gestured toward the outside wall. Han frowned, wondering what she meant. Then he got it. She was indicating the sirens still wailing outside. No problem, he assured her. What are the sirens for, anyway? It's an Imperial raid, Irene said, handing him his blaster and comlink. Han froze. A raid? It's no big deal, Sena assured him. They come by every few months and take a percentage of the refined biomolecules that have been packaged for export. It's a covert form of taxation the city governments have worked out with them. Don't worry, they never come any farther in than the landing level. Yeah, well, they may change the routine a little this time, Ann growled, flicking on his comlink. He half expected someone to try to stop him, but no one even twitched. Luke? I'm here, Han, the younger man's voice came back. My escort tells me I'm being brought to where you are. You all right? Just a little misunderstanding. Better get in here fast. We got company. Right. Han shut off the comlink. Senna and Irenes, he saw, had meanwhile been having a quiet conversation of their own. If you're as touchy about Imperials as Brelia implied, you might want to find a hole to disappear into, he advised. Our escape route's ready, Senna assured him as Irenes left the room. The question is what to do with you and your friend. You can't just turn them loose, Brelia insisted, trying one last time. You know full well that if the New Republic learns about you... The commander is being notified, Senna cut him off. He'll decide. But... That's all, Council Aide, she cut him off again, her voice suddenly hard. Join the others at the lift shaft. You'll accompany me on my ship. Brelia threw one last unreadable look at Han, then silently left the room. Who's this commander of yours? Han asked. I can't tell you that. Senna studied him a moment. Don't worry, though. Despite what Brelia said, we're not enemies of the New Republic. At least, not at the moment. Oh, Han said. Great. There was the sound of footsteps from the hallway outside. A few seconds later, accompanied by two young men with holstered blasters, Luke stepped into the room. Han, Luke greeted his friend, giving Senna a quick once-over. You all right? I'm fine, Han assured him. Like I said, a little misunderstanding. The lady here, Senna... He paused expectantly. Let's just leave it at Senna for now, she said. Ah, Han said. He'd hoped to get her last name, but clearly she wasn't in the habit of giving it out. Anyway, Senna thought I was an Imperial spy. And speaking of Imperials... I know, Luke nodded. Lando's gone up to see if he can clear our ships from the landing record. He won't be able to, Han shook his head. Not in time, and they're bound to pull the landing list. Luke nodded agreement. Then we'd better get up there. Unless you'd all rather come with us, Senna offered. There's plenty of room on our ship, and it's hidden away where they won't find it. Thanks, but no, Han said. He wasn't about to go off with these people until he knew a lot more about them. Whose side they were on, for starters. Lando won't want to leave his ship. And I need to get my droid back, Luke added. Irenes slipped back into the room. Everyone's on their way down, and the ship's being prepped, she told Senna. And I got through to the commander. She handed the tall woman a data pad. Senna glanced at it, nodded, and turned back to Han. There's a service shaft near here that opens up into the west edge of the landing area, she told him. I doubt the Imperials know about it. It's not on any of the standard city maps. Irenes will guide you up there and give you what help she can. That's really not necessary, Han told her. Senna held up the data pad. The commander has instructed me to give you whatever aid you require, she said firmly. I'd appreciate it if you'd allow me to carry out my orders. Han looked at Luke, raised his eyebrows. Luke shrugged slightly in return. If there was treachery in the offer, his Jedi senses weren't picking it up. Fine, she can tag along, he said. Let's go. Good luck, Sena said, and disappeared out the door. Irenis gestured to the door after her. This way, gentlemen. The service shaft was a combination stairway and lift car tube set into the outer city wall, its entrance almost invisible against the swirling pattern of that section of the mural. The lift car itself was nowhere to be seen, probably, Han decided, still ferrying Sanus' group to wherever it was they'd stashed their ship. With Irenus in the lead, they started up the stairs. It was only three levels up to the landing area, but three levels in a city with Ilik's high-ceilinged layout translated into a lot of stairs. The first level ran to 53 steps. After that, Han stopped counting. By the time they slipped through another disguised door into the landing area and took cover behind a massive diagnostic analyzer, his legs were beginning to tremble with fatigue. Uranus, in contrast, wasn't even breathing hard. Now what? Luke asked, looking cautiously around the analyzer. He wasn't breathing hard either. Let's find Lando, Han said, pulling out his comlink and thumbing his call. Lando? Right here. The other's whispered voice came back instantly. Where are you? West end of the landing area, about 20 meters from Luke's X-Wing. How about you? About 90 degrees away from you toward the south, Lando answered. I'm behind a stack of shipping boxes. There's a stormtrooper standing guard about 5 meters away, so I'm sort of stuck here. What sort of trouble are we looking at? It looks like a full-fledged task force, Lando said grimly. I saw three dropships come in, and I think there were one or two on the ground when I got here. If they were fully loaded, that translates to 160 to 200 men. Most of them are regular army troops, but there are a few stormtroopers in the crowd, too. There aren't too many of either still up here. Most of them headed on down the ramps a few minutes ago. Probably gone to search the city for us, Luke murmured. Yeah. Han eased up to look over the analyzer. The top of Luke's X-Wing was just visible over the nose of a W-23 space barge. Looks like R2's still in Luke's ship. Yeah, but I saw them doing something over that way, Lando warned. They may have put a restraining bolt on him. We can handle that. Han scanned as much of the area around them as he could see. I think we can make it to the X-Wing without being spotted. You told me on the trip here that you had a beckon call for the Lady Luck, right? Right, but it's not going to do me any good, Lando said. With all these boxes around, there's no place I can set it down without opening myself to fire. That's okay, Han told him, feeling a tight smile twist at his lip. Luke might have the Force, and Irenes might be able to climb stairs without getting winded. But he would bet heavily that he could outdo both of them in sheer chicanery. You just get it moving toward you when I give the word. He switched off the comlink. We're going over to the X-Wing, he told Luke and Irenes, adjusting his grip on his blaster. You ready? He got two acknowledgments, and with a last look around the area, headed as quickly as silence permitted across the floor. He reached the space barge lying across their path without incident, paused there to let the others catch up. Shh, Luke hissed. Han froze, pressing himself against the barge's corroded hull. Not 4 meters away, a stormtrooper standing guard was starting to turn in their direction. Clenching his teeth, Han raised his blaster. But even as he did so, his peripheral vision caught Luke's hand making some sort of gesture, and suddenly the Imperial spun around in the opposite direction, pointing his blaster rifle toward a patch of empty floor. He thinks he heard a noise, Luke whispered. Let's go. Hen nodded and sidled around to the other side of the barge. A few seconds later, they were crouched beside the X-Wing's landing skids.
R2?
Hen stage whispered upward. Come on, short stuff. Wake up. There was a soft and rather indignant beep from the top of the X-Wing, which meant the Imperial's restraining bolt hadn't shut the droid down entirely, just blocked out his control of the X-Wing systems. Good. Okay, he called to the droid. Get your comm sensor warmed up and get ready to record. Another beep. Now what? Uranus asked. Now we get cute, Han told her, pulling out his comlink. Lando, you ready?
As ready as I'm going to be, the other came back.
Okay. When I give the signal, turn on your beckon call and get the Lady Luck moving. When I tell you again, shut it off. Got that?
Got it. I hope you know what you're doing.
Trust me. Han looked at Luke. You got your part figured out? Luke nodded, holding up his lightsaber.
I'm ready.
Okay, Lando, go. For a long moment, nothing happened. Then, through the background noise of the landing area, came the distinctive whine of repulsor lifts being activated. Half standing up, Han was just in time to see the Lady Luck rise smoothly up from among the other docked ships. From somewhere in the same general vicinity came a shout, followed by the multiple flash of blaster fire. Another three weapons opened up almost immediately, all four tracking the Lady Luck as it made a somewhat ponderous turn and began floating south toward Lando's hiding place.
You know it'll never get there, Irene's muttered in Han's ear. As soon as they figure out where it's going, they'll be all over him.
That's why it's not going to get to him, Han countered, watching the Lady Luck closely. Another couple of seconds, and every stormtrooper and Imperial soldier in the place ought to have his attention solidly fixed on the rogue ship. Ready, Luke?
Now.
And suddenly Luke was gone, a single leap taking him to the top of the X-Wing. Over the commotion, Anne heard the snap hiss as Luke ignited his lightsaber, could see the green glow reflected from the nearest ships and equipment. The glow and sound shifted subtly as Luke made a short slice. Restraining bolts off, Luke called down. Now?
Not yet, Anne told him.
The Lady Luck was about a quarter of the way to the far wall, blaster bolts still scattering off its armored underside.
I'll tell him when. You get ready to fly interference.
Right. The X-Wing rocked slightly as Luke moved forward and dropped into the cockpit, its own repulsor lifts beginning to whine as R2 activated them. A whine that no one else out in all that confusion had a hope of hearing. The Lady Luck was halfway to the wall now.
Okay, Lando, shut down, Han ordered.
R2, your turn. Call it back this way. With full access again to the X-Wing's transmitters, it was a simple task for the droid to duplicate the signal from Lando's beckon call. The Lady Luck shuddered to a halt, reoriented itself to the new call, and started across the landing area again toward the X-Wing. It wasn't something the Imperials had expected. For a second, the blaster fire faltered as the soldiers chasing the yacht skidded to a halt. And by the time the fire resumed in earnest, the Lady Luck was nearly to the X-Wing.
Now, Luke called.
Now,
Han called back. Put her down and clear us a path. R2 twittered, and the Lady Luck again halted in midair, this time dropping smoothly to the ground. There was a shout that sounded like triumph from the Imperials. But if so, it was the shortest triumph on record. The Lady Luck touched down, and without warning, the X-Wing leaped into the air. Pulling a tight curve around the Lady Luck, Luke swooped back down,
wingtip lasers spitting a corridor of destruction across the startled soldiers' line of approach. Given time, the Imperials would regroup. Han had no intention of giving them that time. "Come on," he snapped to Irenes, leaping to his feet and making a mad dash for the Lady Luck. He was probably on the ramp before the soldiers even noticed him, and was up and through the hatch before anyone was able to get off a shot. "Stay here and guard the hatch," he shouted back as Irenes charged in behind him. "I'm going to pick up Lando." Luke was still roaring around, creating havoc, as Han scrambled into the cockpit and dived into the pilot's seat, throwing a quick look at the instruments as he did so. All the systems seemed to be ready, and anything that wasn't was going to have to do so on the way up. "Grab on to something," he shouted back to Irenes, and lifted. The stormtrooper Lando had mentioned as being near his position was nowhere in sight as Han brought the Lady Luck swinging over to the pile of shipping boxes. Luke was right with him, the X-Wing's lasers making a mess of the landing area floor as he kept the Imperials pinned down. Han dropped the ship to within a half meter of the floor. Entrance ramp swiveled toward the boxes. There was a flicker of motion, visible for just a second through the cockpit's side viewport. "We've got him," Irenes shouted from the hatch. "Go!" Han swiveled the ship around, throwing full power to the repulsor lifts and heading upward into one of the huge exit ducts overhead. There was a slight jolt as he cleared the magnetic seal on the end, and then they were out in clear air, screaming hard for space. Four TIE fighters were skulking around just above the city, waiting for trouble. But they apparently weren't waiting for it to come this quickly. Luke got three of them on the fly, and Han took out the fourth. "Nothing like cutting it close to the wire," Lando panted as he slid into the co-pilot seat and got busy with his board. "What have we got?"
"Looks like a couple more dropships coming in," Han told him, frowning. "What are you doing?"
"Running a multi-sensor airflow analysis," Lando said. "It'll show up any large irregularities on the hull, like if someone's attached a homing beacon to us." Han thought back to that escape from the first Death Star and their near-disastrous flight to Yavin with just such a gadget snugged aboard. "I wish I had a system like that for the Falcon." "It'd never work," Lando commented dryly. "Your hull's so irregular already, the system would go nuts just trying to map it." He keyed off the display. "Okay, we're clear."
"Great."
Han threw a glance out to the left.
"We're clear of those dropships, too. They don't have a hope of catching us now."
"Yes, but that might," Irenes said, pointing at the mid-range scope,
which showed an Imperial Star Destroyer behind them, already leaving orbit and moving into pursuit.
"Great," Han growled, kicking in the main drive. Using it this close to the ground wasn't going to do New Cove's plant life any good, but that was the least of his worries at the moment.
"Luke?"
"I see it," Luke's voice came back through the comm speaker. "Any ideas besides running for it?"
"I think running for it sounds like a great idea," Han said. "Lando?"
"Calculating the jump now," the other said, busy with the nav computer. "It ought to be ready by the time we're far enough out."
"There's another ship coming up from below," Luke said, "right out of the jungle."
"That's ours," Irenes said, peering over Han's shoulder. "You can parallel them by changing course to 126 Mark 30.
The Star Destroyer was picking up speed, the scope now showing a wedge of TIE fighters sweeping along ahead of it.
"We'd do better to split up," Han said.
"No, stay with our ship," Irenes said. "Sena said we've got help coming."
Han took another look at the ship climbing for deep space. A small transport, with a fair amount of speed, but not much else going for it.
another look at the approaching TIE fighters.
They're going to be in range before we can make the jump, Lando murmured, echoing Han's thought.
Yeah. Luke, you still there?
Yes, I think Lando's right.
I know. Any way you can pull that Unkion stunt again? You know, scramble the pilots' minds a little?
There was a noticeable hesitation from the comm.
I don't think so, Luke said at last. I don't think it's good for me to do that sort of thing. You understand?
Han didn't really, but it probably didn't matter. For a moment he'd forgotten that he wasn't in the Falcon, with a pair of quad lasers and shields and heavy armor. The Lady Luck, for all Lando's modifications, wasn't anything to take on even confused TIE fighter pilots with.
All right, skip it, he told Luke.
Sena just better be right about this help of hers.
The words were hardly out of his mouth when a flash of brilliant green light shot past the Lady Luck's cockpit canopy.
TIE fighters coming in from portside, Lando snapped.
They're trying to cut us off, Luke said. I'll get rid of them.
Without waiting for comment, he dropped his X-wing below the Lady Luck's vector, and with a roar of main drive, swung off to the left toward the incoming TIE fighters.
Watch yourself, Han muttered after him, giving the rear scope another look.
The pursuing batch of fighters was still closing fast.
Your ship got any weapons? He asked Irenis.
No, but it's got good armor and plenty of deflector power, she told him. Maybe you should get ahead of them. Let them take the brunt of the attack.
Yeah, I'll think about it, Han said, wincing at the woman's ignorance of this kind of fight.
TIE pilots didn't much care which ship was first in line when they attacked, and sitting close enough to another ship to hide in its deflector shield was to give up your maneuverability. Off to portside, the incoming group of TIE fighters scattered out of the way as Luke drove through their formation, wingtip lasers blazing away madly. A second wave of Imperials behind the first closed to intercept as Luke pulled a hard 180 and swung back on the tails of the first wave. Han held his breath. But even as he watched, the X-Wing managed somehow to thread its way unscathed through the melee and take off at full throttle at an angle from the Lady Luck's vector, the whole squadron hot on his tail.
Well, so much for that group, Irenes commented.
And maybe for Luke, too, Lando countered harshly as he jabbed at the comm. Luke, you all right?
I got a little singed, but everything's still running, Luke's voice came back. I don't think I can get back to you.
Don't try, Han told him. As soon as you're clear, jump to light speed and get out of here.
What about you?
Luke's last word was partially drowned out by a sudden twitter from the comm.
That's the signal, Irenis said. Here they come.
Han frowned, searching the sky outside the front viewport. As far as he could see, there was nothing out there but stars. And then, in perfect unison, three large ships suddenly dropped out of hyperspace into triangular formation directly ahead of them.
Lando inhaled sharply.
Those are old dreadnought cruisers.
That's our help, Irenis said. Straight down the middle of the triangle. They'll cover for us.
Right, Han gritted, shifting the Lady Luck's vector a few degrees and trying to coax a little more speed out of its engines.
The New Republic had a fair number of dreadnoughts, and at 600 meters long each, they were impressive enough warships. But even three of them working together would be hard-pressed to take out an Imperial Star Destroyer. Apparently, the dreadnought's commander agreed. Even as the Star Destroyer behind the Lady Luck opened up with its huge turbolaser batteries, the dreadnoughts began pelting the larger ship with a furious barrage of ion cannon blasts, trying to temporarily knock out enough of its systems for them to get away.
That answer your question? Han asked Luke.
I think so, Luke said dryly. Okay, I'm gone. Where do I meet you?
You don't, Han told him. He didn't like that answer much, and he suspected Luke would like it even less. But it couldn't be helped. With a dozen TIE fighters currently between the Lady Luck and the X-Wing, suggesting a rendezvous point on even what was supposed to be a secure comm channel would be an open invitation for the Empire to send their own reception committee on ahead.
Lando and I can handle the mission on our own, he added. If we run into any problems, we'll contact you through Coruscant.
All right, Luke said. Sure enough, he didn't sound happy about it. But he had enough sense to recognize there was no other safe way. Take care, you two.
See you, Han said, and cut the transmission.
So now it's my mission too, huh? Lando growled from the co-pilot seat, his tone a mixture of annoyance and resignation. I knew it. I just knew it.
Sena's transport was into the triangular pocket between the dreadnoughts now, still driving for all it was worth. Han kept the Lady Luck with them, staying as close above the transport's tail as he could without getting into its exhaust.
You've got some particular place you'd like us to drop you? He asked, looking back at Irene's.
She was gazing out the viewport at the underside of the dreadnought they were passing beneath.
Actually, our commander was rather hoping you'd accompany us back to our base, she said.
Han threw a look at Lando.
There had been something in her tone that implied the request was more than merely a suggestion.
And just how hard was your commander hoping this? Lando asked.
Very much.
She dropped her gaze from the dreadnought.
Don't misunderstand. It's not an order. But when I spoke to him, the commander seemed extremely interested in meeting again with Captain Solo.
Han frowned. Again?
Those were his words.
Han looked at Lando, found the other looking back at him. Some old friend you've never mentioned? Lando asked.
I don't recall having any friends who own dreadnoughts, Han countered. What do you think?
I think I'm being nicely maneuvered into a corner here, Lando said, a little sourly. Aside from that, whoever this commander is, he seems to be in contact with your Bothan pals. If you're trying to find out what Felia's up to, he'd be the one to ask.
Han thought it over. Lando was right, of course. On the other hand, the whole thing could just as easily be a trap, with this talk about old friends being designed to lure him in. Still, with Irene's sitting behind him with a blaster riding her hip, there wasn't really a graceful way to get out of it if she and Sena chose to press the point. They might as well be polite about it.
Okay, he told Irene's. What course do we set?
You don't, she said, nodding upward.
Han followed her gaze. One of the three dreadnoughts they'd passed had now swung around to fly parallel with them. Ahead, Sena's ship was heading up toward one of a pair of brightly lit docking ports.
Let me guess, he said to Irene's.
Just relax and let us do the flying, she said,
with the first hint of humor that he'd yet seen from her.
Right, Han sighed.
And with the flashes of the rearguard battle still going on behind them, he eased the Lady Luck up toward the docking port. Luke, he reminded himself, had apparently not sensed any treachery from Sena or her people back in the city. But then he hadn't sensed any deceit from the Bims on Bimisari either, just before that first Nogri attack. This time, the kid better be right. The first dreadnought gave a flicker of pseudo-motion and vanished into hyperspace, taking the transport and the Lady Luck with it. A few seconds later,
the other two dreadnoughts ceased their ion bombardment of the Star Destroyer, and, through a hail of turbolaser blasts from still-operating Imperial batteries, made their own escape. And Luke was alone. Except, of course, for the squadron of TIE fighters still chasing him. From behind him came an impatient and rather worried-sounding Trill. "Okay, R2, we're going," he assured the little droid. Reaching over, he pulled the hyperdrive lever, and the stars became starlines and turned to mottled sky. And he and R2 were safe. Luke took a deep breath, let it out in a sigh. So that was it. Han and Lando were gone to wherever Sena and her mysterious commander had taken them, and there really wasn't any way for him to track them down. Until they surfaced again and got in touch with him, he was out of the mission. But perhaps that was for the best. There was another warble from behind, a questioning one this time. "No, we're not going back to Coruscant, R2," he told the droid, an echo of deja vu tugging at him. "We're going to a little place called Jomark to see a Jedi Master." Chapter 9. The little fast-attack patrol ship had dropped out of hyperspace and closed to within 100 kilometers of the Falcon before the ship's sensors even noticed its presence. By the time Leia got to the cockpit, the pilot had already made contact. "Is that you, Kabarak?" she called, slipping into the co-pilot's seat beside Chewbacca. "Yes, Lady Vader," the Nogri's gravelly, cat-like voice mewed. "I have come alone, as I promised. Are you also alone?" "My companion Chewbacca is with me as pilot," she said, "as is a protocol droid. I would like to bring the droid along to help with translation, if I may. Chewbacca, as we agreed, will stay here." The Wookiee turned to her with a growl. "No," she said firmly, remembering just in time to mute the transmitter. "I'm sorry, but that was the promise I made to Kabarak. You'll stay here on the Falcon, and that's an order." Chewbacca growled again, more insistently this time. And with a sudden prickly sensation on the back of her neck, Leia became acutely aware of something she hadn't really thought about for years, namely that the Wookiee was quite capable of ignoring pretty much any order he chose to. "I have to go alone, Chewie," she said in a low voice. Force of will wasn't going to work here. She was going to have to go for logic and reason. "Don't you understand? That was the arrangement." Chewbacca rumbled. "No." This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.